stand up for yourself. Stand up for yourself. This is Dr. Herbert R. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today, stand up for yourself. So often we are timid about standing up for ourselves. You say, well, we're timid about standing up for ourselves. Yes, we're timid. And the reason that we're timid is because we think that that is not a proper thing to do, to stand up for ourselves. That when we stand up for ourselves, we are being superior to somebody else, or we are being dominant, we are demanding what belongs to us, so to speak, and all that sort of good stuff. And in a way, that's true. But when you stand up for yourself, you're standing up for principle. And when you stand up for principle, you can never be wrong. You may get a good swift kick because somebody doesn't like what you're standing up for, but stand up for it anyhow. So you're walking down the path, and you say to this group of Boy Scouts that you're leading, you say, quiet now, quiet. And some of the children haven't learned that when the scoutmaster says quiet, that they should be quiet. So they're yuck, 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 yuck. Now be quiet, be quiet. And finally, they're out of curiosity, they're quiet. And so they listen, and then they begin to hear the sound. And he says, now can you hear it? Can you hear it? And they say, hear what? Well, listen, listen very carefully. And they listen, and they listen, and they listen. And pretty soon, they can all hear it. And because they're tuned in of one accord to listening, to a sound that they don't know is coming. And then he says, okay now, everybody quietly come over here. Don't make any noise, and don't be frightened of what you see. Just come over here and look. And so they all quietly walked over on their tippy toes, and then they looked down. And then they saw this snake wiggling through the grass. Just an ordinary grass snake wiggling along. And all of them wanted to say, oh, oh, a snake. But they remembered to be quiet. And so they watched the snake as he wiggled along. And they saw how his undulations moved him. And he didn't make a sound in the grass, but yet he made a sound. He made a sound as his body passed over the ground and the grass. And then the scoutmaster said, now, quiet. Gently, he said it so gently, quiet. And so they were super quiet, almost holding their breath. And then they watched as the snake climbed right up a tree, and as it laid up on a branch above the tree. And then, after that was all done, the scoutmaster said, you see, when we are really quiet, we can hear things that nobody else can hear, and we can see things that nobody else can see. Now, how many of you would have ever thought that snake was lying on that branch up there? If I told you that snake was lying up in that branch up there, he'd be tuck, gone like that. If I told you there was a snake crawling along the grass, you'd say, you can't hear a snake crawling in the grass. They don't make any noise. Oh, yes, they do. Everything makes a sound. The sound may just be a little shh, so gentle. But you see, when the scoutmaster knew he was with his scout group of young, perfectly formed boys with perfect ears, perfect eyes, perfect everything, that they could hear that if they would learn to listen. And he taught them this lesson that they learned to listen all of their life. Whenever they thought that they heard something or thought that something was near, they stood still and listened with that inner ear, not the outer ear. The outer ear would never hear it, but the outer ear must be quieted so that the inner ear can hear. Because the inner ear is crowded with so many noises, you know, so many activities that it doesn't listen. But when the outer ear is silent and the inner ear can listen, it hears all of these little magical things. Well, now, this you can only learn by following principle. And the principle is, when you have a teacher, follow him. When you have a leader, a scout leader or whatever, follow him. And, of course, the big part is the job of the scout leader or the teacher to engender interest in the student, to listen to them, and to follow what they say, to believe in them. I had that good fortune with every Cub Scout troop and Boy Scout troop that I was associated with, but the Crippled Children's Society that I was president of in Merced County, and I would work with the young people and work with them as they had problems of being crippled from various things. And little by little, they began listening within. And they no longer let the worry about their outer appearances, their outer body, the polio or the hurts that they had in their body, they no longer let that talk to them. They began to listen to their inner self. And when they listened to their inner self, then they could begin to say, yes, I am whole and perfect. Yes, I am whole and perfect. This is a phrase we've used for years and years and years. But it sort of gets lost by mundane use and mundane saying. Holy Mary, Mother of God, you know, our Father which art in heaven, all these wonderful prayers that we say so rotely, and they lose their meaning. And I'm whole and perfect loses its meaning. But when you can work with people and teach them the principle, teach them to listen to that still small voice within, which is not really so still, but our outer voice is so loud. We think that inner voice is a quiet, still voice, but it's a strong, powerful voice wanting to tell us who we really are, that we're divine, that we're glorious, that we're good in every way, we're beautiful, we're fantastic. That's what the inner voice wants to tell us. But if you don't learn to listen to it, you'll never know that this is you talking to yourself. Oh, they're fine, they're beautiful, they're wonderful. We look at the outside world and we say, my, I wish I could be like them. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I could be as smart as Sylvia, you know, picking up all these things that she does so quickly and so easily. Wouldn't that be wonderful if I could be like Inga here, who is 78 years old almost, and she's still going like a fire truck, you know. Nothing stopping her. Her perfect body, you know. If I could be like Ellen, so much of a bubble of enthusiasm and love, and that everyone immediately knows me and loves me and respects me like they do, Ellen? Like they do Ellen, you know? Isn't that interesting? You are. Because we cannot see in others anything that we're not. We only see in others what we are. And if we see good things in others, that's who we are. And we should begin to not listen to the outer Ellen, but listen to the inner vibrations, which are the outer Ellen. Because they're within each one of us. That bubble of enthusiasm, that magnificence, you know, and the brilliance of Sylvia, and the tenacity of Inga, you know, these are beautiful things. These are beautiful things, and they're in all of us. And it's up to us to be quiet on the outer and listen on the inner. You have 5 minutes before each activity to be quiet and listen. 5 minutes, that's not very much. Well, sometimes I give you longer, too. But then you're worried where I am. And you're thinking, this is longer than 5 minutes. Now, where is Herb? You know, why doesn't he get here? Well, I'm doing that so that you'll have a chance not to be disturbed by it. You're learning the principle. And I teach you the principle under all circumstances, many times very subtly. And I say to you, I wouldn't do it that way. And if it is up to you, and you're learning by principle, you would immediately stop doing it and find out what would be the right way to do it. If I say, I wouldn't let them build that shed like that, that's built all incorrect, you're going to be sorry for it in years to come. It's not going to be a sound shed. And say, well, it's concrete block and it's this and that. I've said enough. I wouldn't let them put the roof in like that. It'll blow away. It's not attached to the top of the building. Well, oh, boo-boo-boo, you know. So you have to stop right away. I wouldn't let them put the stairs up like that. They're not correct. You know? And I just do these things subtly, sometimes so subtly you don't really hear it because your own voice is so loud saying, everything I'm doing is right. Everything I'm doing is good. Everything I'm doing is beautiful. And then I say to you many other little things for you to do, and you don't hear it. You go about it in your own way. You say, I am my own boss. I am my own master. I am my own creator. I am... That's right, you are. But do you like everything that you've created so far? If not, perhaps there's a little bit of training that needs to be done of readdressing the situation in a little different way. And if you want to address it in a little different way, sometimes you have to learn to listen to that voice within you that has the answer. And I merely irritate you to listen to that voice within you and start thinking about what's going on inside there, because you got everything in there. You don't need me, you don't need anything, you don't need anything in the world. But you need me, and you need the world, so long as you're not listening to your inner self. Once you listen to your inner self, you got everything. But we haven't trained ourselves to do it. Your mother says, think, child, think. Don't just act like that. Think before you do those things. Don't do those things. Act, that's stupid. You know, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Well, that's what gets you out of trouble. If you would take your first thought and be spontaneous and act upon whatever the divine in you instantly says to you, go for it, babe. It's what you're all about. See, this is the miracle. This is the miracle. And if you want that miracle in your life, then you've got to learn to listen to your inner self. And you learn to listen to your inner self by taking that time of introspection, taking that time of meditation. Every moment you can have of listening within is great. You're listening within a lot, but you're not listening deep enough. You're only listening to the periphery of things that are around you. You're saying, so how should I mail this box? You don't really care how to mail that box. You mean, how can I get rid of this box in the quickest way? You know, get a stamp on it and get it off. You don't say, now let's see. If I take a smaller box that's more compact and put my things in there, they'll be protected. They'll be perfect. They'll come through just like brand new. It'll be smaller, easier to carry, easier to handle, and it won't look so impressive. One item in a big box. You know, some companies send them out like that. And then it can go into a quicker mailing process and so forth. How would I do it? Now, where do I put the code that goes on there? Where do I put this on there? Where do I put that? And you listen. And your inner self says, do this. And if you do it, you'll be right. And if you don't do it, you'll be wrong. And then if you listen, and then you call the post office and you ask what the procedure is, and they tell you, well, whatever your first thought was, that's what they tell you. But you've gone around the barn trying to figure it out, and in trying to figure it out, you come up with all sorts of crazy ideas, and that's why you have trouble. So listen within. Learn to listen within. Learn to find out what the divine in you has to say. Learn to find out how you can be the most wonderful, glorious, fabulous being on the face of the earth. You can do it. It's just a matter of putting that cause in motion and having the wonderful experience of following the rules, learning the principle, living the principle. It's done unto us according to our thought, our belief. And whatsoever things we ask, it is done. You're marvelous, and I love you very much, and I see every desire of your heart fulfilled right now.